love. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. And I want to read just a few verses in your hearing this morning, and I want to use one of these verses as my thought, and I want to just continue in that. And so if you can stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, St. John chapter 4 says this, verses 1 through 6 says this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now already it is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Woke up in the middle of the night a couple of nights ago with this one thing, the spirit of error. If you would, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercies. Lord, you know every heart and every mind. You know where I'm at, God. You know the words. You know the things, Lord, that are going on. Lord, you know what you have said to me, and you know what you have showed me in the middle of the night. God, I'm asking, Lord, just for you to have your way, Lord. I don't know how we're going to get this and bring this about for understanding's sake, God, but I know we put it in your hands, and I trust you. Help us open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand that you would be magnified and lifted up and glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. If you would, give the Lord another hand clap of praise as you're sitting. A spirit of error. I woke up a couple nights ago with this resounding couple of words in my mind. And I will just say that I spent several hours after that up looking and listening to the word as it unfolded into my mind. And I was reminded of the scriptures. And even this morning, the Lord putting some things together to understand the spirit of error, how we got here. What is the spirit of error? To understand the reality of what it is and how people get there, you have to have a little bit of understanding of the word and realize that you are not, we are not. And when I say you, please, I'm not pointing at you exactly, but I'm pointing to you as humanity and as people who believe in God, people who trust God, people who want to believe what God has to say but may not understand certain things and things that have been written and things. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that has been, it will be again. No matter what man says, no matter what man does, man will repeat history of the Word of God and the truth day in and day out. The only thing that's ever going to change is God. Well, I shouldn't have said it that way. The only thing that's ever going to change is you in God. God changes not. Man is on a course. It's been set on a course for a long time, and he will continue to practice that course until he runs into the truth, until he runs into the Word of God, until he runs into a reality that says something has got to change in my life. I cannot continue to live my life the way that I'm living it, the way that I am going about my days, because it brings no peace. It brings no joy. It brings no hope. And the reality, even though you may have some belief in God, you may have some trust in God, you may have some truth that you have in God, the reality that I keep saying to you over and over again, in that I heard from my pastor a long time ago, that is constantly resounding in my ears and in my heart, your truth, my truth, will never do what God has intended for the truth to do. Because your truth is setting inside of where you are comfortable and what you understand. My truth is in what I have experienced with God firsthand and what God has spoken to me and shown me through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the eyes of the Spirit that He began to put things together. That is my truth, not your truth. But we are commanded of the Lord, or we are given charge of the Lord to give the truth that we have been given. And so many times we go along and we give truths that we have, and we put ourselves in a box, and we think that is all there is to the truth is what we have or what we have heard. And the reality of what my pastor said a long time ago, it's not my truth and it's not your truth, it's His truth. And we are either going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is His truth, or we're going to be settled inside of a box, thinking that we have a handle on the truth, and thinking that we have all that we have need of, and we just need to get everybody to understand this is the way it is. Matter of fact, man gets to such an extent, to such a pole, that he makes statements that we have the truth and no one else does. Maybe you have not heard it in that expression, but it is in their attitude and it's in their spirit, as if they have the, what was that word I was looking for? They have the all of the truth, and it's on their side, and they're on the side of all truth. The reality of it is we find ourselves so many times, no matter how much truth, and if you don't worship truth, then you're going to find yourself in a very precarious place. Just you'll find yourself in a place like he talked about the woman at the well who was a Samaritan woman who had truth, who knew truth, who worshiped truth, who worshiped God, but she did not have what Jesus said. She did not have knowledge of truth, but she had truth. She had an experience when she went to the temple and she experienced his sacrifices and she experienced God. She experienced it, but she did not have what she needed for herself. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll come to church and we'll have an experience with God, but yet we will walk away and not really have what we need in the fullness because we don't take the truth with us. We will never really know God without the word of truth. And I don't care where you come from, and I don't care where you live and what you think. The reality of it is there is none of us, no matter how long we say we've been serving God and how much truth God has given to us and how many times we think we're right and everybody else is wrong and they just need to conform to understand and come to this truth. None of us will not be saved if we don't receive truth. Because the Bible says it in James, it says this, that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. So no matter your experience with God and no matter your growth with God, there is always more truth. Why? Because there is always more change. Because we're not God. We are still corrupt human beings and we're still fallible and we still have temptations and we still fall and everything else. But it doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is how many times do you get up and continue down the road that God has put you on. And the road that He's put you on is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. That has become a cliche. That has become just words that we say. But do we really know and understand that He is the truth? He is the way, and He is the life. Without Him, we have nothing. So many times we in churches, we have a form of God. We have We feel His presence and we believe that's enough. And it's not enough. But as I was thinking about the spirit of error, and my mind goes back because my mind has been on this subject for a little while, kind of coming around back to it again, and then we'll go somewhere else. And my mind keeps coming back, not because anything, but because, let's just say it this way, because I am growing in truth to understand the magnitude of the words that are written. It doesn't just come all at once, Brother Jamal. It comes piece by piece by piece. This is why you may feel like, you know, sitting on the fence and you fall off the fence, or your name is Pete and you fall off the fence, and when you get repeat. It's not because it's a repeat. You may say, well, I've heard this before. Yeah, but you may not have heard the continuation of the truth that God is adding to this. For what reason? To steady up your mind, to steady up your spirit, for you to understand that there is more truth to this that we can shake a stick at, and more Bible truth that we do not fall into a spirit of error. Because it's easy to fall into a spirit of error. All you got to do is go along with what somebody says. Well, he's been a pastor for 60 years, and he's got this degree behind his name, and he's got that doctor behind his name. Surely he knows what he's talking about. Well, I mean, he's got a good report of everybody, you know, and the Lord seems to be with him. And it's so easy because we get our minds on flesh instead of God. Every single one sitting here has been in churches that has fallen apart, and you have fell apart when it fell apart. I'm not trying to be mean, but that is part of humanity. That just should be telling us you have got your eyes on flesh and not on God. Because it doesn't matter who the pastor is and who the church is. If your eyes are on God and your mind is about the truth, you're not going to fall apart just because somebody else falls apart. Because that means your faith then is in your pastor, of which I keep telling you, your faith cannot be in what I preach and what I show you that the Bible says that you may have never seen before. You have got to take the words home, and you got to begin to study, and you got to begin to ask God to prove up what I am talking about to you. Because when the day is done and trials come and you're being blown left and right by doctrines and by everything else, that you don't fall if I fall. Because I'm still human. Can I fall? Absolutely. Do I intentionally want to fall? Absolutely not. Have I fallen before? Absolutely. It is part of life. But what I do know is this. Anything I give to you and I preach to you is because God has woke me up in the middle of the night and says, hey, there's more to this story than you want to look at. Do you really want to look at the fullness of what is written there, or do you want to just believe what somebody says? And I've told you, years ago, I decided for myself, God, I don't want to just believe from where I come from. I don't want to just believe because of the religion or the denomination that I come out of, because mom and daddy raised me this way, and this is what grandpa did, and great-grandpa, and I don't want to do it that way. I thank God for the truth that they have, and I thank God for what they preached, but in the reality of it all, I cannot stand on what they preach. I cannot put my trust and my entire faith in everything they said, because the Bible teaches me otherwise. I take what they say, and I put it before God. There's a fleece for you. It's called a spiritual fleece. God, they say this. What do you say? And God says, that's what I say. Now you want to choose. What do you want? You want what they say? You want what God says? I'm going this way. And I'm going to pray that sooner or later somebody's eyes opens up to what it really says. I know that may be kind of like mysterious in a cloud. What is he talking about? Let's do it this way. Your Bible says this, and it is a favorite quote of most people. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, or that in the belief of him or through him they might be saved. My subject is condemnation. Again, here's another one of our favorites. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. God does not condemn. Don't believe that. God does not condemn. And I guarantee you, before I ever said anything once about, you probably had the same thought and the same belief. It didn't start with you. This started a long time ago. It's just been perpetuated. Give me Isaiah. Watch. This is nothing new. You're just like, don't take it personal. You're just like Israel. Well, I'm nothing like Israel. Yeah, you are. We're just like them. Well, we live in the time of grace and mercy. And you're just like them. And we don't even see it. Watch what this says. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 through 6. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. So now, see, we just put all ourselves. So, I haven't rebelled against God. Haven't we? The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know. My people doeth not consider. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Now watch what he says. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. For the sole of the feet, even unto the head thereof, is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and purifying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, they're not been healed. They've not been delivered. So how in the world does this relate to us? I'm rebellious. I don't see how I'm rebellious. You may not see it directly, but when you accept things that are go in contrary to the word of the Lord, then you have a spirit of error. I've seen something. I want to read something to you. And what we're talking about is condemnation. But this is the same thing. I'm not going to send prophets anymore to reprove you, because all you're going to do is just rebel the more so. I'm not going to send someone to chasten you. I'm not going to send the beast, and I'm not going to send famine, and I'm not going to send all these things, because all you do is just rebel against me more and more. It's the state of a spiritual situation. But listen to this definition of something. I don't know why I didn't look this up before. Maybe I did. I just never seen it in this particular. Did I save it? Okay, I'm going to have to look it up again. Give me a second. Because I want to read this to you. It's very interesting to me. define condemnation. Condemnation is the act of expressing strong disapproval or passing negative judgment on someone or something. It signifies a formal declaration of guilt or the determination that property is unfit for use. Keep it spiritual for a second. Moral judgment. His unfair actions are a clear condemnation to his character. That's not what I wanted. Disapproval. Rebuke. Synonyms. Other words that means the same thing. Rebuke. Reproof. Chastisement. Condemnation. Do you see why I say I wouldn't push that off so quick if you're feeling condemnation? But because religion says it's not of God, what do? We're going to resist. That's the devil. That's not God. So in other words, God doesn't reprove you. He doesn't chasten you. Welcome to a spirit of error. You don't have to think about it. All you got to do is accept something that's being said that sounds good. Sounds good to my flesh, don't it? Because none of us like condemnation. None of us like to be reproved. None of us like to be chastened. None of us like to be corrected. There's a whole group that says, he came, he died, he hung on a cross, he was buried, he resurrected, and all condemnation is on him. All guilt, all shame, everything is on him. Now, therefore, you should not have any condemnation or any guilt. I mean, there's a big old group of people that they accept that. And so as I begin to think about this, the Lord began to go back and he began to say, but it did not start with me and you. I can pinpoint, I can't pinpoint it, but I can, when I begin to hear about it, I was only a kid 50, 60 years ago. Do not reprove us any longer. Do you not know it's the same thing that God said of Israel? Do you not know that when God refuses to step in and to correct your behavior and to bring you into call and into check of your spiritual deeds and actions and literal deeds and actions, why? Correction is for change. Correction is for you to see what you're doing that is not acceptable to God. But when somebody says, do not correct me, they're saying, I'm good enough, I'm acceptable enough, and I don't want to hear it anymore. It's called a spirit of error. And when you step into that spirit of error, can I tell you, you are blind as a bat. You don't see nothing. You don't really understand anything. And you don't even know where you're going. You're walking around in darkness. Why? Because again, my Bible teaches me, maybe yours don't, mine teaches me, that when condemnation comes, there's a reason for it. It's because I've been wandering around in darkness and I've been doing things that I know I should not be doing, that I know that God is not pleased with, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Here's another spirit of error. We all sin, you just got to deal with it. It's something you're going to do every day. That's not what that Bible says. You notice I didn't say that's what I said. I said that's not what that Bible says. Because that Bible teaches me that there's a higher walk and a higher calling. I don't have to sin every day. There is a power that is far beyond anything that we can ever think or imagine that walks above. He walks upright. He walks in holiness. He walks in godliness. But when we just accept things that says, I got no power over this. It's just it's got to be accepted, and this is what everybody does. It's a spirit of error. And when the spirit of error is there, there's a blindness. We just come to church, and we're going through the motions, and we're never really changed. We still have the same old problems. We still have the same old things. And then preachers preach, well, you listen. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is the devil playing with you. You ain't like that really. You're just resisting the word. You just need to accept the word. You just need to speak the word. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. It don't work that way. You can speak it all you want to, but I promise you, if you're still walking something that you know that God don't accept, it ain't changing. Because just because you claim to be, don't change it. There is this thing about reproof that you need to understand if you have not even understood it. Reproof is vital to our spiritual walk. It's vital for children's growth. It's vital for everybody's well-being and growth. That chastisement and correction and reproof and out now rebuke if need be. If the Lord has to stand into a place and out now rebuke you, some bells ought to be going off in your mind says, I have pushed this thing way too far. Oh no, but see, God don't do that anymore. We haven't seen that in a long time. God don't work that same way anymore. Really? No, we just better thank God for the mercies of God, because if someone stood up and did an open rebuke to you in the middle of church, he already knows you probably wouldn't make it. So it's the mercies of God that he don't do that to people. Like it's the mercies of God that he don't say, you lie not to man, you lie to God. Because we don't see it sometimes, but God does. Reproof is a vital thing needed for our walk with God. No, it don't feel good, does it, Sister Pearl? It don't feel good. Sister, she said it. I don't know if you call her or not. When I'm wrong, and I know it, I'm going to correct it. Guess what? You better learn it quick. When you're wrong, your best bet is to correct it before God. Why? Because you ain't going nowhere until you do. And if it's a habit, if it's something that is part of the nature that you have no power of anyway, there's where you get to learn to submit to God and submit to the truth and be humble before God. Say, God, I need your help to change this person that I am, because I personally don't like, I know you don't like it, but I don't like it, and I don't need to live this way anymore, and I need to change. And he will step in the middle of that circumstance and help you change that. He's the only one that can. But if you're so busy pushing off, for those who have the Holy Ghost, it's called a comforter. What do you think he does when you're headed into a place that you shouldn't be headed? Or you're into some people around you that ain't good? If you listen to it, you would withdraw yourself. If you don't, you may wish at the end of the night that you did. He's called a comforter. And when he begins to discomfort you, that is called a light. We call it a light reprimand. It's like taking your kid's hand and slapping it. No, dear, don't do that. Well, why don't he get stronger? He does, you just don't see it. Because, see, when you ignore that slap on the hand, don't do that, your mind and heart has now been set to a course that it don't matter what happens and how strong he gets with you. You're just going to do whatever it is you want to do, because you've already made up your mind that this is what you're going to do. And don't tell me otherwise. You ain't my boss, and I ain't listening to you. I am the king of my own domain. So the Holy Ghost is going ding, 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 splash, splash, splash. I'm sorry. Lord, would you just take a book and smack me upside the head? I do. It's called the Bible. But maybe you don't know that part of the Bible. Because reality of it is, we live in an era, in a time when it's exactly what we were warned about. People don't want to hear, you're not doing all that great. They don't want to come to a church and all of a sudden, not the preacher, but God is already in their mind and going, yeah, I messed up. Preacher ain't said nothing. He's just talking about things that we shouldn't be doing. I wonder if he knows what I did last night. I wonder if he knows what I did last week. So yeah, he's been spying on me. No, nobody's been spying on you. The same word that applies to you is the same word that applies to me. And God knows the hearts, and he knows them. All you got to do is start talking about it and let the Lord have his way and let the Holy Ghost work in you. It's going to start bringing to your mind, yep, I shouldn't have had that conversation. Yep, I shouldn't have went there. Yep, I should not have acted in that manner. Yep, I should not have just opened my mouth and let that fly. It's your conscience before God with the Holy Ghost that's saying, these things I am not happy with and pleased with. That is a form of reproof. Now you have a choice. And the choice is, I will not accept any reproof from within or without. Definitely not without. Because who do you think you are? It's a spirit of rebellion and a spirit of error. And it is dominant in our society. It's dominant in our churches. Even though you don't see it and you may not understand it, we're all sitting here we are like-minded people. We think the same thing. We believe the same thing. Could be. You all have a spirit of error and you don't know it. We're right, they're wrong. Could be you have a spirit of error and you just refuse to see it. Because the reality of it is, we are wrong and he is right. We may have a truth that is correct, but the way you handle that truth is going to make you wrong or right in the eyes of God. And if you handle it in the wrong manner, you present it in the wrong manner, now you are still got you're going to wind up with a self-righteous attitude, with a nose stuck up higher than the heavens, holier than thou. And God says, and that stinks just as much as his stink does. So neither one of you are right. You're just on one extreme, he's on that extreme. And I'm right here in the middle, trying to get both of you to come together to realize that is true and that is true, but the way you handle it is wrong, and the way you're handling that is wrong. Can I tell you that there are people in this world, in religions, that has more truth than anybody else? They do. And they've obeyed more truth than anybody else. And God says, but sometimes that spirit that rises up, It's the same thing Brother Peter did, but we don't see it. God, I have never. He's praying. What was that? It was 6th hour. Was that what it was? He's praying, talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden the sheet falls down, and he's got clean on one side, or I say clean on one side and unclean on the other. He's like, Lord, does the Lord speak to him and says, arise, slay and eat? He's like, ain't never, ain't going to, ain't fixing to start now. And the Lord says, I said, arise, slay, and eat. You can hear him again. I ain't never, ain't going to, ain't about to start it now. I'm 42 years old, Lord, and I ain't never done that, and you know that, and devil, get away from me. And the Lord said it again. Call not thou common nor unclean that I have cleansed. We put our lives and we put denomination is segmented into a box. And they're segmented into truths that they accept and truths that they do not accept. And guess what? They're all wrong. Well, who in the world do you think you are? I'm a nobody that serves a somebody that knows that I'm wrong. And that has said, you know, but you can be right because it is my truth, not your truth. And if you want to be on the right side of truth, then you better open up your eyes and you better look at this from a different thing to understand that what God does and how he works is not what we have been given all of our lives. There are many people, not just one in particular I'm thinking of, but many people who think God's going to do something in the last days and he's going to do it through us because he can't do it with nobody else. Are you kidding me? That is called a spirit of error. He can use a Jonah. So don't tell me he's got to use you. If he can use a Jonah, if he can use, I almost said the other word, a donkey. Who do you think you are? Because we have certain truths that we believe and we hope to, and we are the people. It's a spirit of error. Without understanding God and his grace and his majesty and why and how he works and how he does. So don't be so quick to push off. And don't be so quick when you find yourself in a place where you are repeating something that is detrimental to your spiritual well-being, to just stand up. I'm just going to say it. To stand up and say, I ain't like that no more. God's changed me. Really? Wait and see. Because I promise you, God is light. And light has a tendency to reveal. You can say whatever you want to, but God's going to reveal. And when he keeps revealing your heart and keeps revealing your deeds and keeps revealing your actions, can I tell you, sooner or later, you ought to spiritually wake up and say, I have believed a spirit of error. I have believed something that is not working. But sometimes you're just going to have to go through hell to ever wake up. God can put you there if that's where you need to go for you to spiritually wake up. I have tried all kinds of things that I have been instructed by my elders. Really? By my elders and all of those that have gone before me. And I can tell you emphatically that it works in part. Sister Farrell, you know what you need, right? I know you're struggling. You need to pray more. You need to fast more. And you'll find an answer. I mean, come on, how many people have heard that from their elders, from their people, from the people they put trust in and confidence in? They say, what you really need to do is you need to pray more, you need to fast more, and you'll find the answer. The reason you ain't got the answer, because evidently you go home, you pray, you fast. Well, you didn't get your answer. It's because you ain't got the faith. I guess maybe you didn't fast enough. Maybe you didn't pray enough. How much fasting, how much prayer does it take? But I can guarantee you what you did find is God stepped in the middle of your fasting and prayer and helped you and gave you some relief from the problem that you were facing. But you, when it comes to a little later down the line, you're still looking at the same problem. And you go, but I thought we already dealt with this. No, we didn't already deal with this. I just stepped in the middle because of your fasting and your prayer and because I know that you need something, but I'm trying to teach you that you're not just going to do it through fasting and prayer. You're going to have to realize that what you got going on, just because you can quote scriptures and you can see scriptures, and I promise you, we have a lot of scriptures that we love and a lot of scriptures that we quote, and we say, the Lord has brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, he has, and I thank God for that. But what is this darkness that you keep stumbling in? I thought you said he brought you out of darkness. Why you keep stumbling in the darkness then? Because God is trying to reveal to you there is still something in the darkness of your life that keeps you stumbling and it keeps you falling and it keeps you captive. And it's time for you to understand there is no one that can give you the answer but God himself. And when you submit to the word of the Lord, you're going to understand real quick he has a process that works. And I can tell you, and others can tell you, there is a process with this. And if you follow that process, you will find deliverance. But you're the one who has to do it. In the midst of your reproof, in the midst of your uneasiness, in the midst of your darkness, there is no darkness in God. God is all light. The reason there's darkness, anybody remember the scripture? Because my deeds are evil. Oh, no, not yours, Pastor. If I'm stumbling in darkness, it's because there's some deeds that God says are evil. I may not know that it was evil in the moment of time, but I tell you, the more that you stumble in it, and the more the light comes on, and the more God said you feel his displeasure, and you see that it don't please God, God is revealing to you that he had never revealed to you before. Now, you see that thing you keep doing? That's darkness. That's evil. So what are we going to do? Oh, no, the devil's trying to trick me. He's trying to play games with me. No, he's not. God is trying to teach you. God is trying to show you. You need him and you need his blood working in and out every single day of your life. It's not water baptism in Jesus' name. It's just not the end all to all. Go back and read your Bible. It's the answer. It's the answer to a good conscience. This is where I bury all my shame and my guilt and my condemnation that I've been carrying around all my life. I bury it in the deathbed, in the death grave of water baptism. And I'm supposed to resurrect in the newness of life. But let me tell you, when you get up, you can still be found in darkness. What are you going to do? Go back and be baptized again? Well, if you do so much damage to the spirit of grace and you do so much damage to the name, you might need to be. If you can't really shake it, you might need to. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing greater than obedience, and obedience to what God says and the blood that will work for you every single day. And how does that work? I got a fellowship with the light, but the light's going to reprove me because I know what I did last night. You can have a choice. You can continue to stumble in your darkness, or you could come to the light of God and lay it down, which he already knows anyway, and he can turn the light on and he said, now this is how you're going to overcome this. Because every problem that I've ever had that I stumble and I can't, there is no answer. It doesn't work with what they say. And when I laid it down at his feet and I asked him, he says, well, I'll help you how to overcome that. Because you can't do it within yourself. But if you let me and you let my blood and you let my word and you stay humble and you continue to walk in truth, you continue to love me, you keep continue. Boy, that's a lot of expectation. Yes. Because when you're walking this way with what the Lord's saying, you're not focusing on that, but you're walking and you're being obedient to what God says, and you're being obedient to his truth, and you're learning more of him, and you're growing. Next thing you know, when you turn around, and it may be as much God says, Brother Jamal, I want you to go over there and pray for that individual. Or it may be you driving down to the Lord, and the Lord brings somebody to your mind. You really need to pray for that individual. I ain't praying for that individual. Lord, you got to be kidding me. You know what they did to me? Yes, I do. You want to overcome? Humble yourselves. They crucified him on a cross. And he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When condemnation comes, it doesn't come to kill us. It comes to help us, and it comes to change us. It comes to show us. When the woman was caught in adultery and they brought her to Jesus, was trying to lay a trap, everybody left because Jesus is writing on the ground. I probably think he's writing names, or he could be just writing sins that they have been committing, and all of a sudden their conscience is beginning to bother them. We don't need to be here because, you know, he did say, him without sin cast the first stone, and I don't know how he knew that, but yep, now I got to get out of here because this ain't got nothing to do with me, and no one else is left but him. Let me show you what the scripture really means. He didn't come to condemn him. He could have, by law, picked up that stone and killed her and been right 100% according to the law. But he says, neither do I condemn. It's not that he didn't reprove her. He didn't condemn her to death, which was the law. So mercy and grace is standing before her and saying, neither do I condemn thee, but we don't hear the but. He didn't condemn me. Did you hear the but? What was that? And then you go out and do the same thing again. You didn't hear the but, did you? You just heard, I don't condemn thee. It don't mean that God ain't going to reprove you and chasten you. It just means he's not going to put you to death, which by law he could. But mercy and grace is standing before you and God, Almighty God, who is a holy God, who is full of righteousness and judgment. But the Son of Jesus, the flesh, the sonship is standing between you and God Almighty, which is really him. But he's trying to show you more grace and mercy when he took on the flesh and overcome the very thing you did, because that's the only way he can deal with us. He can't deal with us by law. He can't even deal with the Jewish people by law, because you'd have to kill them all. So when Christ came, Christ dealt with what the problem was and said, now I have overcome. So now you can overcome. I'm going to deal with you with more mercy and with more grace. You better understand, judgment is right back here. And if I step out of the way, it's coming down the pike. But I'm standing in the midst, and I'm the one allowing. I'm the mediator between you and the judgments of God. I am the high priest in the heavens that's making intercession for you. So he says, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. You're not hearing the other part. Thank God he didn't condemn me. Then I get up tomorrow and I'll do it again. Listen, we serve a merciful God. Been there, done that, had the t-shirt. More than just once. More than just twice. More than just three times. More than just four times. More than just five times, more than just 10 times. Do I need to keep going for you to understand? We, by nature, constantly do things that does not please God. And sometimes it's a repetitive thing that we do over and over again that is displeasing him. But because of his mercy and his grace, he don't automatically just go. He sends discomfort. He sends reproof and chastisement and sends the word. Well, I don't like that word. No, most people don't like that word. But watch, let me show you the significance of why you should love the reproof of God. Anybody really love the reproof of God? It took me a long time. And there are times even today when God steps into it and he gets very, very strong. I don't necessarily like it. And I don't love it. But you know what? I have learned to listen to what he's saying. And if I will do what he's saying and make the necessary changes, I love the benefits. I don't like the chastisement. And I don't like the reproof. Because he can get very strong when he decides to get very strong with you. So strong, he goes, you feel hell? No, not yet, Lord. Okay. You feel it now? Yeah, Lord, I do. What you want to do? What was you saying I need to do now? Oh, well, I'm not like that. Yeah, you are. Because we're all like that. And what makes us common. Brother Tim, give me this, the scriptures, and we'll make it fast. This has been developed. This is not something that has, I have preached scriptures and these scriptures here and there and everything. And the Lord is putting all this together and say, see, if you say that condemnation is of the devil, then basically you're saying that my reproof is not from me, it's from the devil. Watch what this says. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. What did that say? Despise. Don't despise it. Oh, no, that's the devil. That's not God. No, that's the spirit of error. Read your Bible. 6, This is why I say read your Bible. For whom the Lord loveth. Thank you, God, for loving me. For chastening me. For reproving me when I'm wrong. Why? Because I ain't what I think I got. And nowhere's where I should be without it. And watch it. It's going to unfold right here. And not only does he chasten you, but he does what? Really, Lord? Scour me? I thought chastening was enough. Let's say, not only will he chasten you, but he's going to have a deep cleansing. He's going to get right in the heart of the matter. And see, you say, you see that right there? That's where all this is coming from. You want to get ready to root it out or you want to keep it? It's your choice. I ain't going to pluck it out for you. But if you want to root it out, I'll help you root it out. And then once we root it out, we're going to replace it with something else. Because anything that God, that you have in that is here, that is taken out, if you don't replace it with something that God says, guess what? It's going to come back. Sooner or later, it's going to come back. Why? It has to be replaced. And he scourgeth every son of whom he receiveth. That just said to me that really to be a son or a daughter, you have to have chastisement and you have to have the scouring. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, not only this, but here, I have to endure the chastening. I've heard enough. Can we just move on? I'm out of here. I don't hear no more. That ain't enduring. Isn't that what Israel kept saying? You brought us out here to kill us. And they couldn't hear God say, yeah, you're right, I did. I'm trying to kill that rebellion and that stubbornness and that vain and that iniquity and all this. I'm trying to kill it out of you. This is what kept you out of the promised land. You want to know what's keeping you out? It's, you look like Israel. I'm not like Israel, God. Yeah, you are. We got to root this out. Because if you leave it, at some point, it's going to come up in your life again. But if we endure the chastening, then God, he didn't say we were sons. Look, he said he dealeth with us as with sons and daughters. For what son of whom the father chasteneth not? If he don't chasten you, then I probably wouldn't. I don't go around calling myself a son because to me it's vanity. Because it says it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be as he is. It's, he gives us power to become sons and daughters. It's a becoming. It's a process. It's not something that's stamped, signed, sealed, and approved. It's a process. It's a work to become. I just want to be the servant. That's all that matters to me. Be the servant. 8. But if we be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then we are bastards and not sons. He's cussing in the church again. No, the term just means you're without a father. And that's how God looks at people, spiritually looks at them when they reject the love of God. Oh, we don't reject the love of God. But don't reprove me. You're rejecting the love of God. And so you have a spirit of something, a spirit of error. Because I promise you, there ain't a father around that ain't going to chasten his children. And if he ain't going, if he don't, then he has a spirit of a spiritual bastard. Because that's not the way fathers work. And not son. I've got to go, but this is, Furthermore, here we go. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, talking God, chasten us for our profit. You mean the chastening of the Lord is for my profit? How do I get profit out of being whooped up? How do I profit getting hung out to dry? I don't like the chastening of the Lord. I don't like the reproof. I definitely don't like the rebuke. So how's that for my profit? Well, read the rest of Scripture. That we might be partakers of His holiness. Don't even talk the holiness with me, and you're without chastisement. You don't even know what you're talking about. Because, see, I have to be chastened of the Lord to be a partaker of His holiness. Chastisement has to be there. And at times, reproof. And if need be, an out-and-out rebuke. Why? Because He's doing this for my spiritual profit, that I could partake of His holiness and walk in something that is much greater than I am. But that comes with reproof and chastisement and correction and changing. Changing my heart, changing my mind, changing my philosophy, changing everything about me. But if you like yourself, well then, that's a painful process. If you really want to be a partaker of His holiness, you could be. 11. For no chastening in the present seemeth to be joyous, and it's not, and it is grievous. Nevertheless, watch what this says, afterward. In other words, given a little bit of time after you've been chastened of the Lord, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What in the world is that supposed to mean? There are people who get chastised and they just, okay, thank you, Lord. But it never brought forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness because it never did the work that God wanted to do in their life. They just said, okay, that's fine. I ain't going to do nothing. Something's got to change. When you're yielding to the chastisement, you're saying, you're right, Lord, that is not good. That is not holy. That is not righteous. That is not godly. God, I need this gone in my life. I need to be more like You. And when you let chastisement do the job, the next thing you know, when it's processed and over time, it's not just saying, one time in an altar, oh, God, forgive me, and I've been forgiven, and I'm up at it, and I go out and do the same thing again. When you get up, you should know, God don't like this and God don't like that. He don't like me acting that way. He don't like me talking that way. He don't like me visiting with those people. He knew, but Lord, I mean, you know, what's wrong with visiting those people? It's not the people. It's what happens to you. You can't be around those people because you just got a weakness that you get in the middle of a bunch of stuff that drags you down. So it's best to just stay away from those people, get away from them, break those ties because you're talking about your spiritual walk with God, which is more important. Friends or the walk with God. This is why I don't have a lot of friends. You think I'm joking? Not even in the circles that I have a license with and that I deal with and I talk with. A lot of them ain't my friends. They're acquaintances. Truth be known, they don't like me. Because I get in their backyard or their theology and I start turning things upside down and say, well, if that's right, then what was that supposed to mean about us? I mean, we can't be wrong. What do you mean you can't be wrong? You are wrong. Well, who you are? I'm a nobody that's been wrong. But thank God He takes it and turns it upside down. So if you live it, you do it, you let it work in you, you're going to see something different. But if you don't, guess what? It ain't going to work. So if I let the chastisement work, that means that I'm going to be mindful and I'm going to be listening to the word of the Lord. And every time I get close to that situation and the Holy Ghost bells start going off, ding-a-ling-a-ling, I'll say, oh, I don't want to go there. Now you're learning. Now the Holy Ghost is teaching you because he's trying to keep you out of trouble. You're being exercised by the word of the Lord. It says, oh, I didn't like that displeasure of the Lord that first time I did that, and the second time I did that, and the third time I really didn't like it. Well, then, okay, it's time to change something then. Then don't keep walking the same walk and talking the same stuff and doing the same stuff and thinking the same stuff and thinking it's just going to change overnight because I repent every night. It doesn't ever change. you ought to wake up sooner or later. So you're right. I've repented of that thing for 1,000 times. And I felt better when I repented. But when I got up the next morning and I got right back doing the same old thing, it didn't change. Because it don't work that way. There's another spirit of error. It's everywhere. But we are exercised by the chastening of the Lord. Here's the first thing it's going to yield: the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What does that mean? It means you're going to clamp down your tongue when you feel like just saying whatever you want to say. Well, let me give you a piece of my mind. Wait a minute. Never mind. Why? Because if I do, the Lord's going to have somewhat to say to me. And I just, all right, Lord, you deal with that. And then after it's yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness and it's worked, guess what? Then I get to step into some holiness and walk into some holiness with God that I have never seen before and I've never experienced before, a greater height, a greater overcoming, a greater experience. You can talk about it or you can experience it. I want to experience it. Not only have I experienced it, I want to continue to experience it. But then guess what? That means I better not be resisting God, which I've been known to do. No, not you. Yeah. That wasn't God. Really? But God, that's not what you... Okay, so you're trying to put me in a box too then, right? Get out of your box. I don't work your way. 12. If God worked my way, it'd be totally different. I want God to send me to people that are just ready and dying, waiting to go. Tell me what the Lord said. I want to go to a house of Cornelius experience where they've been fasting and praying, and they said, God sent me. God said to send for you, and I have called you, and I'm so glad that you're here. What it is that you got to say to us from God? That's the kind of experience that I would like to have. Well, then God said, well, I suggest you get work on yourself then. You might have it one day. But God, I got to have it this way. I'm sorry, no. It don't work that way. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I told you you're going to have to straighten something out. Make straight paths for your feet. I think I'm going to walk over here for a little while. I feel this urge of being a little rebel right now. Hang on, Lord. Give me a second. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Follow peace. No, Lord, not this. With all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I just hung everything up right there on seeing the Lord. You got to have peace and you got to walk in holiness. Guess what? With all men. Guess what? That's some chastening of the Lord, ain't it? that's some reproof of the Lord, isn't it? That's exactly right. What do you want? What you really want to know what that really is saying? He's taking out the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes out of my robes that pollute me, that corrupt me, that cause me to stumble and fall. And through the fellowship of the light of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, he's cleaning me up to present me unto himself a chaste virgin without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish, to the glory of God, not to the glory of me. But if I want to see the Lord, as Brother Jamal said, I got to walk in peace with all men. No, not just a few, Lord. All men. Even the ones that keep pushing your button. But he didn't just say peace. He said holiness. And if I just understood my Bible correctly, the only way I get to be a participant of holiness is that I have to receive the chastening of the Lord, and I have to be exercised by that. So, boy, this is a big subject, isn't it? The blinders go off, and you're like, oh, my Lord, I thought I'd been a partaker of your holiness this whole time. No, you've been a partaker of the mercies and the grace of God this whole time. Holiness is within, not without. It's a spirit of something. The Bible says that he came in the spirit of holiness, being who he was. So it is the same today. That means within me, there is no resentment and bitterness. There is no guile. There's no ill will. There is no hypocrisy. There is no... You want to keep talking about it? It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It doesn't exist because God has transformed the very thing that exists into something that he can work with through this flesh to be what he was in his time. That means I got to take out the rebellion and the stubbornness and the vanity and all of that. I got to get it out, that God can freely work through this vessel and do what he wants to do. But that comes with chastisement. See, because I really do want to walk in holiness with all men. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you flat out, I've had this ambition all my life. And it has two reasons, because it comes from two things. I won't get into that, but I have this ambition. People healed. People cast out devils. Never spoke a word. Never did anything. I just have compassion on those that are sick and not my shadow. They were passing them. They're going, boop, boop, boop. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Thank the Lord. Look what just happened to me. Nobody spoke to me. Nobody did anything. And Peter did it. Because he's walking in the spirit of holiness. So before you do too much damage to him, you better look at it. Because he walked in it. If he walked in it, Brother Jamal, that means you could. Press for the hope that is in us. I'm pressing myself for the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because that's who. I want to experience that. Not to make me something, but I just want to experience that. It's the same God. If he did it with Brother Peter, why can't he do it for me? Maybe my life is not constant. Well, ain't no maybe to it. It ain't. And that's what that should tell us. Anytime we're not experiencing what the Bible says, it should be a mark on the road that says there's something in our life that does not measure up. It's not that God is not the same. He is the same as we're not the same. And should this bell be going off? If you really want to attain that, which you can, then you're going to have to live the life that actually is pleasing to God. Which comes with chastisement and correction, and it comes with change, 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 change. And it comes with truth, truth, truth. And any truth in which you do not receive and you do not accept, you do not yield to, you do not bow to, humble yourselves. I'm going to use them all these words. And ultimately obey is a truth in which you do not worship. And you just went from a true worshiper till you know not what you worship. Just that easy, just that quick. You mean it can be just. You could actually, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll obey it, I yield it, I yield to you, Lord. I yield the right away. Yes, Lord, forgive me, change me. Yes, Lord, yeah, nope, I don't like that. Well, yeah, Lord, that's true, but I ain't doing it. You just that quick. But we may never ever see it. I didn't rebel against God. When you're not obedient to what he says, you are rebelling against God. This is what he says from Genesis Revelation. It agrees 100%. There are no contradictions. Contradiction is between your two ears. Your mind, your thoughts, your philosophy. Stand with me. This morning, it may not be directed to you. It may have anything to do with you. If it does, take it home with you and let the Lord help you and build you. But this is, I don't know, this is an end to the subject. Why? Because there's never an end with the subject of the Lord. Because I'm tired in my spirit and in my soul. I am tired of hearing things. Half-truths. I want the rest of the story. Quit believing something that I know is 100% against the truth. But if you stand up and say that to somebody, they'll look at you and like, you're crazy. But go back and read your Bible and see how dominant it really is in your Bible. I'm not crazy. I just believe the truth. I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability and my knowledge with the help and the grace of God. because I have to receive a love for the truth. Lord, I love that truth, but I don't really love that chastisement truth. I love it when you're pouring out the love on me, God, and the peace and the joy. Oh, I love that, but I don't like that chastisement and that mercy and that patience. Someone said to me the other day, so I ain't got no patience. I said, well, patience is a virtue. Well, I ain't got none. So, well, you're in for a hard road to hoe because you got to have it. Because in your patience possess ye your soul. How much patience you got? I ain't got much. Boy, you have a hard road to hoe. I pray to God your soul saved when it's all said and done. Because in your patience possesses ye your soul. Oh, that ain't Bible. Yes, it is. Stand with yourself. Lift your hands with me. Lord, I